Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Fesco and Dusty. Don't worry. You got 4 hours of Cody and Gold. You got 4 hours of The Drive with Robin Carrington. And then you got 3 hours tonight as the dudes from Buffalo Wild Wings give you some cheese talk. I believe they're in St. Joe tonight.
Yes, they are. So if you're up there, you can see them.
Up north. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you here on 96.5 The Fan. I love this segment because it is a segment that just randomly got created one night with my show After Hours. And I thought to myself, man, there's just a lot of like interesting stories about people just being, you know, bags out there. So we called it Richard of the Week.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Richard of the Week on a Friday, November 8th. I'll start this one. My Richard of the Week is a coach in the NBA. A new coach in the NBA. And that coach is J.J. Redick.
Oh, hey. You didn't know that before he was a coach, huh?
And the reason I say
he's
this.
He's a Dukie, right?
He is. Okay. Probably the second best college basketball player I've ever seen. Kevin Durant, number one. J.J. Redick's probably number two. Those are probably the top two. And then Michael Beasley was a freak as well.
Oh, my God.
Got all that in my youth. And then now I don't watch college basketball. I do, but let's be honest. I'm going to be at Blue Springs South High School tonight, not in front of my TV watching North Carolina, Kansas.
No, it's great terrible game. Night. Great game. Horrible night.
Sorry.
A stupid night for
so
this game.
So J.J. Redick stormed out of his press conference after his fifth game in the NBA. I understand that they get annoyed. We were talking about this earlier this week when it comes to the resurgence of Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. You do your job, you have people like us that can be annoying and ask you questions as if we think we know. And the Lakers suffered a 131-114 road loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, where Ja Morant had one of the sickest plays I've ever seen, a 360 layup underneath the guy's arm. It was gross.
So, but it's okay to say, like, Minnesota's a good team, right? Let's get that out of the way, right? Minnesota's a good team, maybe one of the best players in the league.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Memphis should be.
Oh, you said Memphis. I thought you said Minnesota, my bad.
Minnesota does have probably one of the best players in the league in Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Ja's great, too.
If Ja can just keep the choppa in the house, then he's going to be just fine. Wednesday night, despite 39 points from a 39-year-old LeBron James, hey, Dylan Mack, the Lakers rookie head coach was displeased with his team's effort. He had a moment of, like, you know, coach and player, all that sort of stuff. And one reporter noted Redick's desire to see more of his players step up to match LeBron's nightly effort and asked, how do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for approaching that? J.J. Redick just said that I just did that with LeBron James, said, quote, I just did. He stood up, dropped his microphone, and exited the media room. While departing the press conference, Redick added, first thing I said to them. So my Richard of the Week is, if you're going to pout like that, sit there and take it and give it back. Because I think he has that fire and that tenacity. He was a good announcer. I loved when it was J.J.
Great
and Doris.
Color guy.
I loved that announcing team. But, like, here's the thing, dude. Like, they don't know what you're doing to your team. They don't know how you're addressing your team. Explain more. And I get it. We don't always need to get every answer to every question we ask. We don't get that. You and I have both been doing this enough to know that. And
but there's a way to handle it versus something like
but
that.
But to literally go into a press conference and say to the first question, how do you, you know, preach the, not preach, but how do you get your team to play to the intensity that LeBron James did when he's 39?
That's I just not a bad did. Question.
And then stand up and then go out of the room and be like, first thing I said to them. It's like, okay, sit down, relax. So JJ Redick, Richard of the Week for me because you've been doing it too little to have that sort of tantrum.
Yeah, we're five games we're five in. Games
and especially
in.
A guy
on,
who
man.
Was doing that job last yes. year. Like, and you should have more.
And here's the other on. Thing, dude. It's L.A., man. It's L.A. If you think that's the toughest question you're about to get asked when you got LeBron James on your team and you're in the Los Angeles market, it's only going to get tougher, man.
Well, it battles back and forth for who the number one team in L.A. is. It's either the Dodgers or the Lakers. And now that the Dodgers are done, it's the Lakers and it's everybody else. Football is irrelevant out there. They have $15 tickets this weekend for Jeez. The Chargers.
Well, that
right?
game sucks.
I know, like, but you know what?
And you know
the
why
The Chargers
it's cheap,
are good, though.
But you know why it's cheap.
Who it's are the Tennessee.
Two, who are the two teams in the NFL that pry on tourism tickets?
L.A. and L.A.? And
Los
Vegas.
Angeles Chargers and Vegas.
Yeah.
The two teams. Tennessee ain't traveling.
No.
Tennessee's ready to go watch Rocky Top play football. They're ready for basketball.
But you
they're
moved
done.
To L.A. Shouldn't you have a fan base there?
No.
For a good football team like the Chargers? That's all I'm saying. Like, you're relying on outsiders to come to your games as opposed to, I don't know, staying in San Diego where you had a fan base.
You could say it's a hot take to say that football in L.A. is third tier.
It doesn't. I said it. It's not a hot take. It's the truth. The L.A. people didn't want the NFL.
I mean, it's basketball. It's NBA. It's probably baseball, NBA, NFL.
It's Dodgers. It's Lakers. And Ben Maller could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you know, you start to look at the hierarchy of teams. The L.A. Kings are probably number three.
Yeah, I agree. I think so.
Clippers are probably up there.
Further down the road, like the Clippers, the Angels.
I mean,
their
owner just built them a new stadium. It's sick.
I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
Ballmer's a G, dude.
Yeah, he's great.
I drink a whiskey with that guy.
1,100 self-flushing urinals. And the story this week is
I got George Brett there.
They don't play the game in the bathroom now. They play pop music in the bathroom because they think it'll get people back to their seats faster. Like, everything's about being involved in the game.
And apparently it has.
And
it
has.
And the food isn't that good either.
Whoever you two wants to go for your Richard of the Week.
I like where I'm going to go on this one because I was going to take the second one that you had, but I wasn't sure that you were going to go with the guy who let out 40 monkeys that are running around.
Audio ready, but I was like, I don't know if it plays this week.
Okay.
But you can do it.
No, but I'm going to go with this guy in Oregon riding his bike, gets hit by an ambulance.
Yeah, trash of the day yesterday on Cody and Gold.
Oh, was it?
How about it? Go ahead and tell the story, because I don't think everybody that listens to us listens to them.
No.
So insane story.
This guy's riding his bike, and the ambulance is going like somewhere between 2 and 10 miles per hour. And smashes into this guy. The ambulance smashes into the bike rider, right? They're not paying attention to, you know, where they're going or what they're doing. The guy's 71 years old. So you think, oh, boy, he got hit by an ambulance. That's not bad. At least
good for a 71-year-old still riding that bike.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Broke his nose, smashed in, you know, all this stuff. And so the ambulance is like, oh, my God, we got to take care of you. They take him to the hospital and make sure he's okay. Promptly send him a bill for $1,800.
Yeah.
He's now suing them for $1 million.
So your ambulance driver is the Richard of the Week.
That's exactly right. Yeah. The ambulance company and everybody. You hit this man and then took him to the hospital and then gave him a bill for $1,800. You're not just a Richard. You're an ass.
Should have done it for free to stay off this lawsuit.
I mean, like, if I would have gotten billed for that, I'd have been doing the same thing.
That's
up yours,
insane
man.
To me. Yeah, I heard them talk about that story yesterday. I was like, is that a real story? Like, is that really that's
that guy?
That
happened back in 2022. And so now he's just getting the lawsuit together.
What's funny is we all have that friend too. Like, we all know that guy in our friend circle that like will literally like ask you for, like, he's the guy that like he'll bring food to your house and be like, yeah, I brought, like, somebody be like, hey, if you don't mind, we bring a bag of ice. What's ice? $1.50? $2?
Yeah, right.
He's the guy that gets there. He's like, oh, you got $2 for that ice? You're like, oh, really, Steven?
Oh, okay. You've had somebody do that.
I'm just saying there's somebody like that. There's that tight ass in your group of friends. It's like, here's the ice. $2? You're like, I'm sorry?
Everybody brought something, bro. Have some Doritos and shut up.
I'm saying he brought something, and then just that small favor, right? Hey, shoot, I forgot to grab myself like a Sixer or a Miller Lite. Would you mind grabbing that? Yeah, you got $9 you want to Venmo me for? It's like, I'll give you my house and my food and all this. But there's always that guy, man. Mac, who's your Richard?
I know how to stretch a dollar better than anybody, but I hate cheapness. Like, that right there would drive me
There's
nuts.
People like that, dude.
Oh, I know there are. I try not to associate with that. Like when the bill comes at a restaurant, well, I didn't have the appetizer, so we're not paying. You
Shut
have
up.
To, like, I, this is
that
how
that happens more than you can imagine, dude.
It is awful.
More than you can imagine.
And I don't want to, like, really associate with people like that because I it makes me mad. But, like, my whole philosophy is if we go out to dinner, right, you, me, the four, say the three of us and one other, there's four
yeah,
people,
you're
right?
Up the tab, pro.
Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to put our credit card, we're just going to split it. We all went to dinner. We all, like, whether you had two drinks or I had five or I had two and you, I don't care. We're just going to split it down the middle. It's just what you do.
There's a really funny, I wish you would watch. I think you should leave. There's a really funny sketch, comedy skit in that show where they do that and the guy gets picked. He's like, I'm not paying. I didn't agree to this. No way, dude. It's like the opposite. It's just, it's really, it's funny.
But like, if you're, well, we didn't have the appetizer.
It's called credit card roulette. Yeah, you put them in a hat, shove around.
Yeah. You play that game. But I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to play that, but you go out to dinner with like another couple, you go, let's just split it.
I actually didn't have the 75-cent side of ranch, if you could adjust that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, 100 times.
Yeah,
100 times.
Or, like, split checks are fine if you want to split your check. I don't have a problem with that. Make things a little bit easier. But if you don't split the check and everybody's just paying, don't sit there and go, well, I'm not paying for this.
No. You Venmo me this for the chips and stuff? No, dude, come on.
Who's your Richard of the Week?
I'm going to go Jamar Chase. This is what he said after the close loss against the Baltimore Ravens, where I'll just add his quarterback threw for 430 yards, four touchdowns, and zero interceptions.
Do you feel like the ball should have gone to you on that final play,
Timmy? Yeah, I always feel like that. As a receiver, you should want the ball, yes. But, you know, sometimes Joe don't see it, you know?
Is that a shot at Joe Burrow?
He may not mean it as one. He may not mean it as one. It may be all well and good. Sometimes Joe don't see it, which is true. Sometimes quarterbacks don't see it. But, like, this guy just threw for 430 and four touchdowns and zero picks.
And,
like,
half those yards went to you.
Yeah.
And, so he saw you quite a bit.
He fed you, man. Yeah. He fed you all night. Like, don't say one thing about Joe Burrow unless it's going to be positive in praising your quarterback. Like, you just know after a loss, you see Jamar Chase, he's pouting, doesn't have his chain on anymore after another touchdown dance. And, and you just know he's going to say, yeah, it is, but whatever. But, like, you just know he's going to say some BS. And there you go.
Yeah, that's I heard that this morning, and I'm like, is this a shot or is this just like, man, he just didn't see me, or like very nonchalant, like, but it sounded like a shot.
Yeah, sometimes Joe don't see it. It's like, okay.
By the way, since they said we'll see y'all at Burrowhead, the Bengals are 13-15, including a 7-7 record at home and 0-3 in Arrowhead. That rivalry is now dead. We bring in the number one super fan for the Cincinnati Bengals, and we will ask him if he bends the knee to the season that is the 2024 NFL season. Drew Nixon joins us on the roundtable on the other side. 913-586-7965. Your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It is that time of the day where we do the roundtable. It is brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Is it your mic working? Is it the right one? Is Mac, is he good?
Test.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go. So it's over here.
How do we never have
I'm
these
sorry.
Working?
This is this one. This is my bad. I put the wrong button. Anyways.
Losing still, Drew. I'm sorry. That's unnecessary.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. God. So, jeez, Dusty. The man is savage. Wounded. It hasn't even been 12 hours yet.
Sorry. I appreciate you for sending the group text a Hude text last night.
That was what's the difference between Hude and Hudat?
One claims that they stole it from the other, I think.
Stole it from who? New Orleans stole it from Cincy. Cincy stole it from New Orleans.
Yeah, I think each fan base claims that they had it first. I'm not sure,
actually.
Who
did the tomahawk chop first? The Braves, the Chiefs, or Florida State?
Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah, Florida State's the answer to that question.
I bet you can find you a Chiefs fan out there like, bull crap, Fesco. Like,
really, you think?
It was our group, man.
No,
it
wasn't Florida
State. Chopping in the 70s.
No, they weren't. There was nobody there in the 70s.
That is the truth. So anyways, no secret, right? You're the Cincinnati guy. I love that you lean into it. I really thought they had a chance last night. Burrow looked great. Jamar Chase looked great. Mac had Jamar Chase as the Richard of the Week. Mac, why don't you play him the audio and see what Drew's perspective is as a Cincinnati homer?
Do you feel like the ball should have gone to you on that final play, Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like that. As a receiver, you should want the ball, yes. But, you know, sometimes Joe don't see it, you know?
Is that a shot?
No, I don't think it's a shot because I think it's true. On both fourth and twos, everybody thought it was the play calling from Zach Taylor. Like, why are you calling a deep pass? That was Joe Burrow was the one that made the decision to throw the ball deep both times. One of them, actually, mm-hmm. both of them were to a Jermaine Burton, I believe, and both of them missed
badly.
Yeah, just overthrown. He didn't place it good enough. But it's still on a fourth and two. That's the throw that you decide to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the confidence to make the throw. It was a little bit off. The one that was most frustrating is that second one that he alludes to, where he had, I think it was Tanner Hudson or Gesicki underneath, but he had Jamar Chase underneath and open. Nobody was near him. If he just would have waited a second longer, he'd have had him and they'd have had the first down. Both of those plays, along with that Chase Brown fumble, I think are the ones that you circle. That's the sequence. Those are the turning point ones because they were up 21-7 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Had those fourth and twos. I mean, and if you're at the point where they were able to move the ball easily, get the ball to the 50, and then they might stall out a little bit. If you convert one of those fourth and twos, you go down and you punch the ball in the end zone again. It's a 21-point game. I mean, that's like sticking the dagger in their chest. And I don't know if that's what Joe was going for when he tried to throw the deep ball. I was like, I'm going to hit this, and we're going to end this thing. And it's the gut punch. But
that's where the maturity, though, of Patrick Mahomes has changed over the years. Because Mahomes would have probably done that his first 4 years or 5 years maybe in the league.
Just said, F it, I'm going to rip it.
Yeah, and now he's become mature, he's become older, he's become wiser and understands, so I'll just take the high percentage play here, get the first down and keep the sticks moving. And, you know, you mentioned the fourth downs. There's a difference between being aggressive and being that Staley jackass from L.A. who would go for, you know, fourth downs all the time, right? Was it Brandon Staley or whatever that guy said?
Yeah, right. Last week against Mitzvah five times.
Yeah, stupid at times, right? Like, sometimes you have to play that field position game, and it's fourth and two, and you're at your own, you know, 48-yard line or their 48-yard line. Why wouldn't you just pooch punt it and make Lamar go the distance instead of giving him the opportunity when he's dominating to take over at midfield? There's a difference between being aggressive and being stupid.
Yeah, there was the one. So both of those were on, both the ones that happened that they failed, I guess, to get out of the multiple ones that they tried were in plus territory, but like you said, Bob, they were in that like 45-yard where it would have been like a 60-yard field goal. Do you trust Evan McPherson to make it? Do you even want to risk it?
He's normally trustworthy, right?
But if you're up 21-7, why not punt, get Lamar down inside the 10-yard line, and then he has to go 90-some yards and take a lot of time off the clock
Or throw the throw punt. And then if you throw it deep and it's intercepted, they intercepted the five.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was – I think – I like the decision to go for it. Maybe it's because they – and I don't know this – if they don't trust the defense that much where it's like, we need to go and we need to score every single possession we have to try. Mm-hmm. I like the aggressiveness from Zach Taylor because at times he's been very conservative. And it's bit them before.
Yeah.
Of course, you can be over-conservative, and it can also bite you. You know, the Brandon Staley conversation as well. I like the decisions that Zach Taylor made. It's just I wonder if there was a better – if you look at some of the missed opportunity, it's just the decision for Joe Burrow to throw the ball deep. There was stuff there for you to convert it. You just couldn't get it on. And maybe it's because they played Baltimore's defense, and they know they stink, and they just said, you know, we're going to be the aggressor. And they were from the jump. I mean, they had control in the game, but – as it has been for all the other games of the season, there's one or two plays that they're just on the wrong side of, whether it's their own decision making, whether it's some bad luck because they're, I think, Bob, you said they're 1-7 in close games.
Something like that, With one score games, they're 1-7 this year.
I know where they're 0-1.
They have scored 33 points in five games this year. They're 2-3 in those games. The rest of the league is 38-1 in those games.
Let me ask you two questions. Does Lamar Jackson give you the we can't let him have the ball, and that's why they went for two sort of fear?
Yes, 100%. Okay. And I don't know if it is partially Lamar Jackson
or the defense.
I think it's more about the defense because even with Patrick Mahomes, just based on how the game was going, if they would have scored a touchdown and been up, or if they would have had to go for two against Jaden Daniels, they weren't in that situation. But based on how Jaden Daniels was playing, I would have wanted them to go for two in the same situation. I think that's the defense has been so bad for them. Where when they started out well, but when they can't make a stop, they cannot stop a nosebleed. And I knew that if they kicked that field goal and they went to overtime and they lost the toss, it was the exact same situation as the Bucs with the Chiefs. It was the Todd Bowles thing all over again because the Ravens were going to score a touchdown if they got the ball. And I'm glad that you trust your best player in that moment to go and win you the game. It didn't happen. And sure, he got smacked in the face and all that stuff, but the game should have never come to that anyways. But I like putting the ball in your best player's hands to win the game.
I'm not a go-for-two guys, as these guys know. that's the right situation to go for two. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Go for two in that situation.
Because if you have the same, like you said, Todd Bowles, if you don't go for it, you tie it, Lamar gets the ball and they win, then it's like, why didn't you go for two? At least you give your team a chance to win, especially on the road.
Yeah,
if you, division.
Given how the defense is, and also the fact, too, that they're 4-5 going into the game, this is a signature win that you could say, again, I still think that the playoffs are still a possibility based on how things go.
You got to be perfect, though.
Yeah. You have to be perfect from here on out. They can't afford to lose more than one, maybe two games the rest of the way, which obviously they haven't been able to do that. But this is one of those games where you could have taken control. And then if the defense look, if Lamar Jackson gets the ball, say they get it, and they're up by one, and Lamar Jackson goes down and kicks the field goal, you throw your hands up and say, well, not that this is surprising, but you know what? The defense let us down again, but you put yourself in that position where you could win the game instead of just relying on a coin toss to help your luck.
And even with 33 seconds left, I wouldn't have given it back to Lamar Jackson there in a tie ball game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to move down the field and set you up with Justin Tucker to kick a field goal.
How many quarterbacks merit that? Mahomes, Allen, Burrow?
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar.
I think Lamar you would put in that situation.
Anybody else you'd kick it to? You'd be like, okay, if CJ Stroud goes down and beats me, CJ Stroud goes down and beat me, but damn it, I'm not letting Lamar Jackson do it. Cause I think,
If you're, I think again, it depends on the situation. I think a little bit where the Bengals defense has been so bad. It depends on how the game is going. But yeah, if you were to say four quarterbacks that I'm going for two against, and I don't want to, I need to get up because of how good they are, I would say it's definitely those four.
And it's the right decision, too, because the Baltimore defense sucks, too. And so, like, you can't get 2 yards against the worst defense in the NFL. You absolutely go for two. Like, I think if anybody's sitting here going, they made the – like, the going for two is such a revisionist history. You go for two when you needed to win a game. That is it, in my opinion. Yep. And you needed it to win the game. You went for it there. But the people who come out and say that was the wrong move, that's revisionist history. Because if you make the two-point conversion, you're getting praised by those same people in that 100%. Situation.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you're a genius if it goes one way, and then you're an idiot if it goes the other.
That's
right. And Zach Taylor has kind of been the scapegoat, because I think Zach Taylor is a better coach than what people give him credit for. It's just that there have been times where when they lose close games, a lot of the time it's been late game management, decision making, which we've seen across the league everywhere. It's not like Zach Taylor is the only guy that doesn't know how to manage a game. We see it all the time. But it's another one of those moments where I think as a head coach, you make that decision, you go with your gut. We're going to give the ball to our best player. And if we lose, fine. It was a great game last night.
It was an unbelievable game.
It was a fantastic football game. And I think that every single time, like Lamar Jackson said it afterwards in post game, every single time we play them, it is a good football game. Lamar's been on the great side of it when you look at the record. But every single time they play the Ravens, that's why I think in my mind, the Ravens are the most frustrating team that I have to watch play the Cincinnati Bengals, because every single game is very close, I know it, and every single game Lamar Jackson makes the one play where he's running backwards 15 yards, runs around in a circle, and then he makes a play, and you're like, dude, this is ridiculous. How can we – they didn't get a sack last night. They had hands on him the whole night, couldn't bring him down for a sack. It's very frustrating when having to go up against Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or those guys who can extend those plays. It's very frustrating.
And it's frustrating because you're this close, but that's the NFL for so many teams that aren't the Chiefs. You're this close and you're just a player here or a player there away. And, you know, I understand how people are frustrated by it. So do you think this eliminates Cincinnati now from playoff contention? Are you ready to say, let's concede and let's move forward?
I guess so. In terms of them actually going and winning the Super Bowl, I think I'm almost the same stance as I was. If Joe Burrow was healthy last year, I don't think they would have won the Super Bowl, because the defense sucked last year too. They were not very good. They couldn't tackle anybody.
What happened to Lou Anarumo? They're like, everybody loves that guy. Hey, Lou.
I think part of it, I wonder if part of it's personnel, where they don't have a good enough secondary right now or a good enough defensive line. Lou's still, I think, a good coach, but I think part of it is all he for whatever reason. He can scheme. He is the best defensive coordinator when facing Patrick Mahomes, and he can make him look ordinary at times. But when anybody else is playing, they look great. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just really good at scheming for what Mahomes does. But that's what he does really well. I think it's partially the personnel. But if we were to say right now, are the Bengals out of the playoffs? I would say no. Are they a Super Bowl team? I don't think so, because the defense is playing bad.
And you can't win a Super Bowl with that defense.
Yeah, you have to have a complete team. They come up short in multiple phases, and that's what, you know, a definition of a bad team or a team that's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. If the Chiefs beat the Broncos this weekend, the Bengals are still just like one game out of that 7-seed spot. So, again, like what you said, Dusty, they basically got to be perfect the rest of the way. Like, they can't afford – they have to go 5-2 or better in the last stretch, which includes multiple division games, which are always tough in the AFC North. You play the Chargers, you play the Broncos. So they're going head-to-head with some teams that are right in
and
that.
And they have two with Pittsburgh still,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They're going head-to-head with teams in that wild card spot. They don't play the Colts, but the Broncos and the Chargers as well. It technically would help the Bengals if the Chiefs beat Denver this weekend a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Serious question. If you do miss the playoffs, is it over for Zach Taylor?
I think it should be, but I don't. I think I would say I'm 35% confident they would actually fire Zach Taylor because they went to the Super Bowl with him. And I think the Bengals just, they held on to Marvin Lewis for all those years and he didn't win a single playoff game. They went to the Super Bowl with Zach Taylor. And maybe they fire Lou Anarumo. Maybe that's the decision you make.
But what has warranted, in your opinion, Zach Taylor to be fired?
I think some of it is the late game stuff. I don't know if I were to say Zach Taylor's fired, there's better options out there. I think Ben Johnson would be a better coach, but in terms of this is the reason he needs to be fired, I don't know if I can pinpoint the exact reason why Zach Taylor should be fired. Maybe it's a lack of aggressiveness at times on offense. I think the slow starts, I guess, is the first thing you look at.
But I'm going to jump in real quick. I think if you were to go to me and plead the case of the late game collapses and 1-7 in games where they score 30 or more points,
is that your reason?
That's a fair reason, I think, to fire a coach.
Somebody has to be.
I think it's
coaching.
Also your guys' slow start every year.
Yes. That's coaching too.
You bury yourself in a hole to where it's like, I always give the analogy, they're the kid that starts the semester off failing the first test, and then you have to get an A on every test afterwards just to maintain a B average in that class.
And even though I think Zach Taylor is a solid coach, I think that like, this is one of those things where even if you think he's okay, you just need a change for whether it's the locker room's sake, because there's been multiple times where whether Jamar Chase has said it or Joe Burrow said it, like, look, that was the play call, or they need to give me the ball. Like that's come up multiple times now where I think they're not calling out Zach Taylor in a way, but they also are.
Right.
There's better. I think you just need that culture change where somebody needs to get in there and get everybody focused. And I don't know if Zach Taylor is that, where everybody gather around, everybody shut the hell up, and this is what's going to happen. Like, if he's not Dan Campbell.
No, he doesn't have that Dan Campbell in him, in a way. Let me ask you this, because I think there's a lot of teams that the way to go is an offensive-minded coach, but I think that only refers to when you have, like, a rookie quarterback. Now, I know Dan Quinn is an anomaly in this sort of argument because he's defensive-minded, but he's got Cliff Kingsbury, who he's basically said, this is your project, go take care of it, I know you can do it. A couple names that might help. And Cincinnati's, if they do, and I'm just throwing these names out there, Robert Saleh or Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel's a good name.
Vrabel's a name.
Vrabel's a great name.
Vrabel's a name that go in there, be a red ass in that locker room. Also, he doesn't need to have somebody take care of his quarterback. His quarterback is there. He's a top five quarterback, probably a top three quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to worry about Joe Burrow. You sign Jamar Chase and you give somebody the offensive mindset and be like, you guys go take care of it. You can do that. I'm going to reshape this defense and bring what he took to Tennessee, which still has one of the best defensive lines in football and gives a lot of people headaches. Vrabel in Cincinnati, if Zach Taylor goes, maybe not some of the Kansas City Chiefs fans would want to see.
No, I think Vrabel is the guy that if you were going to bring a defensive guy in, because you might joke about Belichick, I don't want Bill Belichick coach of the Bengals. Please.
I don't think he'd be on the
Cincinnati. He already said he was on the Cincinnati.
I think Vrabel would be really good for mainly, obviously, the defensive background, but the reason that you said is he could be that guy, the Dan Campbell. Everybody, listen to me. This is what's going to happen because I'm telling you what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like he's a former player. Zach Taylor played the game as well, obviously, but Vrabel's that guy who's played in the league, won Super Bowls. This is what it takes. They've gone against Mike Vrabel, and he's done very well against Joe Burrow. I think that, you know, in terms of building a group that's really good, Vrabel comes in. I think he would. If Vrabel were the coach, keep Dan Pitcher as your offensive coordinator because Joe Burrow's comfortable with him. He knows him well. Mm. The offense has a flow. I'd almost be I don't think you can pay T. Higgins now because of the whole injury stuff, but I was almost tempted to just say, look, pay T. Higgins. Do not draft a single player on offense because the offense is fine. You don't have to. The offensive line has actually been the best that it's ever been.
Even if you don't pay T. Higgins, I would not be drafting offensive players. Look at what the Chiefs did, 100%. Right? They just started to load up talent on defense. And, you know, you got to be well-rounded.
Yeah, they need a defensive lineman in the worst way. They should. Their first three picks or first four picks, three out of the four should be defensive players. And you just come in with a new identity. I think if they did fire Zach Taylor, I think that Mike Vrabel actually might be a name that's at the top of the list.
How could he not be? Like, every team should have him at the top of the list.
Yeah, it's crazy that he
And he's still fresh, because I know the NFL evolves so quickly year after year, but he's still fresh and can still kind of do that. I just think that, like, his mentality, his sort of coaching...
It would be needed. It would be good.
Is he right? Is he with Cleveland right now?
As an advisor?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's just sitting and waiting. Yeah. So he's staying in the game, just waiting
kinda
for
like
that
Sala
next...
Kind of like Sala going back to Green Bay.
Yeah. As a contributor slash advisor.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he...
Which is also kind of a jab at Aaron. Like, I think, why go anywhere except he went to Green Bay?
I think it is. A little bit.
It's like, sure. Come over here. Well, we'll accept you, because we don't like those guys.
Yeah, right. Aaron Rodgers sucks.
Are you ready for the show today? Are you going to make it?
No. I'm ready.
That Quick Trip Cup? Look, if you want, I can go to Missouri and come back real quick.
The way that I've described this is that there is one person, I think, that hates the Bengals more than anybody else, and it's Alex Gould.
He's right there. I thought it was you.
No, it's me too. I hate
their fan base.
Alex tweeted a picture, a GIF, whatever, of the Joker, of Heath Ledger's Joker last night. I realized after he posted it that he's the Joker in this situation. He needs Batman. Alex needs the Bengals. He loves the Bengals. He's addicted to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to admit it.
He's right. Hatred is an addiction. There's no question.
He is addicted to the Bengals. And there's one time where they've broken his heart once, and we're just waiting on that one time to happen again.
It's hard to get over that person who broke your heart. It really is. Like, we've all been there, right? Like, we've all been there. All four of us are not.
Facts.
Yeah, right? Like, it takes time to get over
still
that.
Trying.
Yeah,
100%.
And, you know, as if we continue to beat the Bengals, I'm still going to go back to that AFC Championship game and go, okay.
There's one man that is beating the Kansas City Chiefs when it matters most, other than Tom Brady, and it's Joe Burrow.
That's right.
It's almost
that's
been
it.
5 years, bud. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I said, even if they're 9-8, they have a shot as good as anybody else to run and make it, because they have Joe Burrow and that offense is high flying, and they have had a lot of success against Buffalo. They just have to be on the right side of that play, which they haven't been so far.
And Joe Burrow gives zero F's and doesn't fear anything.
Thank goodness.
He's just a stone cold killer, man.
I'm so, because everybody's like, I get everybody gives me a hard time, obviously, because I'm a Bengals fan, but I am so happy that there's a quarterback finally where you don't have to go into a draft. We're not going to have to go into a draft in the next 10 years and say, maybe we should draft a quarterback.
Nope.
Hopefully. I'm very excited. It's nice to have a quarterback who's very, very good, and you don't have to worry about that problem.
Now get the rest of the team
can take care
board.
Of business.
Other than you taking punches from Alex Gould Day, what's on the show?
We're going to talk about the Chiefs and Broncos a little bit. Obviously, we're going to have Joshua Briscoe on. The plan is to have Nick Ferguson on as well. We're going to have a good show. We're going to talk some Chiefs. I'm a really big Chiefs fan this weekend.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
Bend the knee, baby.
Don't come over to our side.
You can come over if you want. Do you want them to be your second team?
Everybody said, like, Drew, I think you're going to become a Chiefs fan. Like, look, I have a lot more respect for the Chiefs, I think, since moving here.
After hours with that guy over there.
That's correct.
He's a huge Chiefs fan.
I know.
We're turning him. Slowly but surely, don't worry.
Oh. No, you're not.
Going to be some like witchcraft, black magic drinking the Chiefs Kool-Aid.
I have more respect for, I think any Bengals fan would have this way if they worked in radio and they were around covering the team. I have more respect for the Chiefs probably than any other Bengals fan that's out there because just being here.
Yeah, I've seen them in the wild at Arrowhead. They're losers.
There's a lot of Bengals fans who are crazy.
There's a lot of Chiefs fans that are crazy.
Yes,
there's one that's in jail that wore a Wolf's mask.
A couple that are whacked out.
You said something that's very true for Chiefs fans. You said Cincinnati gets to go in the draft in 10 years for 10 straight years. Say, boy, we don't draft a quarterback. So do we over here in Kansas City.
It's got to be a good feeling.
It's the greatest feeling in the world.
It's got to be a good feeling.
Because there's not a lot of them. Because
you're a college guy. Look at the draft class for this year. Terrible quarterback. Next year, terrible quarterback.
When's the next good quarterback? He's in high school now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's in high school.
All right, Drew, take care. I wish you
the best.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Just tell Alex Gould to kiss your ass.
I should today, shouldn't I?
I would.
You just look at him and go, Alex, your father said, kiss my ass.
Alex, you wouldn't drive if it wasn't for Fesco.
It's true. Yeah.
That is the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. We get to what's in the tailgate talk on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
I'll tell you what's going to be at the tailgate this weekend. It's going to be some smokehouse barbecue. We're going to go get their game day special and have it ready to go for Sunday. A pound of burnt ends, a pound of wings, a slab of baby back ribs, a quart of beans, paperware and serving utensils for six, all for just $79.95. And that's going to take care of the tailgate. Now, we're going to get some wings as well, the Cajun butter chicken wings I absolutely love. And we're going to get some sweet Zing wings too. It is their new chicken wing flavor. It is a sweet flavor with a kick, and they are fantastic. fantastic. So next time you're dining in at Smokehouse Barbecue or you're catering something, make sure you get some of those Zing Wings as well. It's also chili season at Smokehouse Barbecue. They do a burnt end chili that is freaking awesome. They do it with their spicy barbecue sauce, their chopped up burnt ends. That's just the base. Oh my God, I ordered two bowls the last time I was in there. That's how good their chili is. And of course, at Smokehouse Barbecue, you know what time of the year it is. Gobble, gobble time. It is turkey time. So make sure you order your turkeys for Thanksgiving at Smokehouse Barbecue. They will be the best turkeys you ever had. Juicy, delicious, and wonderful. You pick it up the day before Thanksgiving, you heat it the morning of the big meal, and you're ready to rock and roll. So check them out in their three locations, Independence, Gladstone, and Zona Rosa, or at smokehousebbq.com. That's smokehousebbq.com. For over 35 years, locally owned and family operated, it's Smokehouse Barbecue.
Final segment on a Friday, a Red Friday. F the Broncos, dude.
Let's go. I'm ready for this one, man. I'm ready to go, ready to rock and roll, ready to have a good time this weekend. We got the thing at the Landing tomorrow with Ben Maller from 2 until 4. Then we've got the game on Sunday. Like, let's go, baby.
Is it just me or is anybody else watching Jack Caglione home run hits?
Every single day.
Like, I don't know, man.
It's the Arizona Fall League, baby.
The answer to your question we had off the air, 2007.
Okay.
That was Sean Barber's last year in the NFL. I was just wondering.
I thought he played with Andy here.
No.
Sorry, Sean. I thought you were younger.
He played with Andy in Philly in 2006.
Yeah, but I, for whatever reason, I thought he played here with Andy as well.
He was with the Chiefs from 03 until 05.
Yeah.
His best year with the Chiefs coming in 2003.
That's right. That was the year the defense couldn't stop anybody, right, Danon?
Mm-hmm. Oh. 2003.
I love when Danon and Sean argue about that 03 team. It's one of my favorite things on radio when they get going and Danon's because like, Danon was why'd on you the, stop anybody?
Danon was on the 97 team.
Right. And they couldn't score.
Mm-hmm, but they had the best defense.
Yes, and then yeah. Barber was on a defense that couldn't stop anybody but could score at will.
Sean Barber that year had 113 combined tackles, 93 solos, 13 for a loss, and 5 sacks.
Would the 03 offense combined with like the 97 defense be the best Chiefs team ever?
Or this defense with that 03 offense? Or if you took this defense with that 18 offense, you'd never lose a game.
You'd never, yeah. Like if you could combine the best Chiefs offense, like which would it be, right? Like which era, which team, like, and that, you know, that's obviously something we can get into in July.
Yeah.
But, you know, because there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer to that. But I just, like, off the top of my head, if you took Danon's defenses that he played with that bailed his offense out all the time.
Because he was on that 95, 96, and 97 defense.
Which were just incredibly stellar. We take those defenses versus and these offenses or that 03 offense. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
God, imagine if they made Peyton Manning punt in that playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Make him punt?
Yeah, or anybody for that matter.
Yeah. Noon game. That's interesting. That's that kind of changes the dynamic of how you partake in your meals on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like I told you guys, I think I might possibly, I don't know for sure yet, might do like a breakfast brunch with mimosas because there's that 8:30 start game in Germany, which is awesome. Because when the Chiefs played that game, obviously you go a little bit bigger with that being the game. I did the breakfast on the Blackstone. Like the bacon, the eggs, the sausage patties, made biscuits and gravy.
Blackstone breakfast the best thing on the Blackstone?
It's the closest thing I can get to Waffle House without going to Waffle House.
Right.
Like I can do hash browns actually for the first time ever by putting them on a Blackstone.
Yeah, like it's the best thing to do on the Blackstone though.
Ah, it's tough, dude. Philly cheesesteaks are great.
Yeah.
Smash burgers are fantastic. Combination fried rice probably takes over because like you're not cooking that anywhere else. Like you can cook in a pan, but you don't have the
surface.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna do brunch. And then that way you can smash a bunch of grub, have a couple of mimosas, and then by the time the noon game kicks, you can switch over to the garage beers, which I found to be very, very enjoyable.
They're really good. Like I'm not a huge lime beer guy, but their beer's good. Yeah.
Or it's probably gonna be Miller High Life. You can get a 6-pack of 16 ounces for like $5.96 at Quick Trip next to my house. So it's a solid deal. But that's my tailgate talk for food. You're actually going to be there, so you have a little bit more of a You got to show Ben Maller the way, man.
We got to show the way. So Ralph's making his famous burnt end chili, which is just, I mean, to die for.
Say less.
Right? Let's go. We're going to get the tailgate pack from Smokehouse. We're going to have Cajun butter chicken wings, probably about 5 pounds of those suckers thrown out there. Mm-hmm. It's not a tailgate at Arrowhead without Fireball, right? So somebody will have
Has
to be bringing
the
Fireball.
Has he ever had Fireball? Because he was talking to us about it one time, I think, when we were doing like an interview. I don't
Ben?
Know. Yeah.
I don't know. He will at this game.
He has no
game.
Choice.
Yeah. You have to. If you don't do Fireball, right? You don't go to the game, so. But Fireball is coming out with a new version called Cryer. We're making tears. I sent you guys this story yesterday.
That's right.
Like fan tears or something they're using to make that. I'm not touching that.
That doesn't sound sterile.
No, but they said they're going to process the whatever, like from jet
Why
fans
fix
or something.
What's not broken?
Well, because you always got to reinvent yourself, right? Mm. I mean, it's what we do. And it's what's not broken. We got 17 sequels to the same movies, you know? So that's what we're going to do in America.
Yeah, we're
right?
getting three more Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Did you hear that? Three more Star Wars
Max
and Cryer Ball.
You know, Max got a shirt that has the Millennium Falcon on it that describes every single sector of it.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good with that?
I'm good on that.
Star Wars is for nerds. But let me tell you what Patrick Mahomes does in the third quarter with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, mini bink.
Yeah, his EPA for dropback.
Yeah, there you go, mini bink.
Something here, Dutch man. What do you think about the Chiefs?
Full circle.
Yeah, how we start is how we finish.
They call me Little Pink because I'm going to tell you something, Dutch man. Mahomes in this league is better than everybody else.
That's mini bink.
Yeah, mini bink.
Mini bink. No, so I'm sure there'll be other, you know, snacks and stuff that we pick at Hy-Vee later on or whatever, but you got to get some cookies and the whole nine.
Hey, you'll be in Missouri.
Yes, we will be in Missouri.
Yes.
We will be in Missouri on the bus. So if you see the bus come a-rocking, don't come a-knocking. Or
come knocking.
Or come knocking. Yeah, you never know what's going on that bus. Or on the roof of that bus. We've had a guy play like a live, get up on the roof and just start playing his guitar on top of the bus.
Hell yeah.
Filming like
a music
video. I know
where you guys park. You guys park right in the middle of that divider.
Yeah,
right?
we're on a divider. Yeah.
The other side is where my buddy's family tailgates.
Okay, we're on like the west side of the stadium.
Yep,
usually.
I know exactly where you're at.
Not between the stadiums, but just west of the lot.
I wish I'd have known that because I was there two times last year. I don't know. I doubt you were at the Christmas Day game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, the Christmas Day game. No,
I was at that one in the Buffalo game.
We were at Buffalo
so
last year.
So do you always
yeah.
see across from you, they light up the opposing quarterback, they light him up with fireworks and burn him? Have you ever seen that?
What?
Yeah, they do like a cutout.
Are you talking about across the parking lot? Uh-huh. There's always some commotion going over there with fire.
Right before
and
they
stuff.
Walk in,
yeah.
That's the tailgate that I was upon.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's,
yeah.
that's how
yeah,
close
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah. We're usually right across the way from those guys. Mm-hmm. And so Ralph's going to make that burnt end chili, going to get some smokehouse barbecue. And we're just going to gorge out in the parking lot and maybe go in if we can waddle ourselves towards the entrance, right?
Send me your address, 913. We're doing biscuits and gravy, flat top, breakfast tacos, and white Russians.
What are you putting in your
Ooh.
Breakfast tacos?
Woo!
What are you putting in your breakfast tacos? Are you going bacon? You going sausage? You going chorizo? You going bean and bacon in your breakfast taco?
You're going to the game too, right, Mac?
Yeah, I'm
gonna are you
going
to run into his tailgate with Maller?
Yes, it's gonna be great.
BYOB.
Mm-hmm. Bring your own Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own Bob. What
well,
about
there's
Bob?
Nothing than the freeloaders, man. Like you people that show up to a tailgate and eat everybody's
nothing,
food and bring nothing. Like you suck.
Hey, can you bring us some ice, Mac? We're a little low. He gets there. Can I get the $2.50
exactly.
for the ice?
We had this guy Blaze for years. Just start like open mouth the Fireball like out of the bottle. Like nobody wants Blaze's backwash in the Fireball.
I do. I want to know what Blaze's blood tastes like. Yeah. Dude. I want to run through a damn brick wall, dude.
Like dude,
what'd you
that's
drink
a,
today,
that,
Blaze?
It's a gallon and a half of Fireball. It's for everybody, Blaze. Like, why are you taking a pull off it? You just ruined the whole bottle.
Alcohol kills germs.
Fine.
And at that point in the day, do you really care?
Most of the folks that I tell, like Ralph is as germaphobe as I am. So once we saw that go down, we're like, dude.
Yeah. I'm surprised you eat the food with everybody leaning over. You know, there's that one guy that's like, oh, these are the beef.
No.
Oh, man. My God, Frank.
It's funny. It doesn't bother me at the tailgate, but like a buffet, forget about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But because you probably know the people for the most part.
Let me tell you something about Fireball, Bob. Fireball belongs in coffee.
You know Binkley's putting that Fireball in his coffee.
You better believe it. I used to put that JMO in my coffee back in the day.
The last time I put something in my coffee on a Saturday, we won't go down
that. Okay. Hey, it is the weekend. You got plenty of time to do nice things because...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is cool. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care. Kansas City, enjoy your Red Friday. Stay safe. Stay kind. Hopefully Alex Gold is a little kind to Drew Nixon today on Cody and Gold. Coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.